Hey everyone, this is Isaac. You're probably wondering, what the hell is going on here? What am I listening to? Well, here's what happened. I sent a survey out a while back, and one of the questions was about upcoming guests for my Rockfin show. And the overwhelming response was they wanted to hear from Mrs. Weishaupt. And I thought, okay, all right, let's see if she's up for it. And she was. So I made this show, right? And I thought, and someone on, I think it was Twitter, reached out and was like, hey, what's up with your Patreon folks? We want to hear from her too. And I thought, ah, darn it. Because here's the problem. My Rockfin show fits the branding of, you know, talking to Mrs. Weishaupt, talking about truth or drama, talking about books, mindfulness, spirituality, all that stuff. Whereas conspiracy theories and unpopular culture is mostly, you know, symbolism, some movie stuff, some TV shows, some dick jokes, you know. And the interview with Mrs. Weishaupt doesn't fit the mold of that show at all. Because we're going through, like, personal stuff, right? So anyhow, long story short, I reached out to Rockfin. I said, hey, I know that this is an exclusive thing only for Rockfin. Do you care if I share one episode, just one episode, with my people on Patreon, my writers, my Patreon folks, and I'm going to put it on the VIP feed, too. If you're on the VIP feed, same story goes, right? And they let me do it this one time. So I'm gonna give you this part one episode. And, you know, if you like what you hear, check out the Rockfin thing. I know you're already supporting me on this one platform. I'm not asking you to, like, do both. But if you're interested, you can check it out. I don't care which one you support on. I love the support regardless of which one fits best for you. But, yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes and, you know, the drill. But this is going to be part one. Part two, I'll have up probably the third week of February after Valentine's Day. Very apropos. So anyway, enjoy this show. This is part one. Mrs. Weishaupt, check it out.
They were working at Guantanamo Bay.
Uh-huh.
And in the detention center that's over there.
Oh, man. Who the hell did I know that worked at Guantanamo Bay?
I got a mind like a steel trap.
Wow. How many years ago was this?
A long time ago. This was a long time ago.
Okay. All right.
And they were saying that the thing that they would do is, like, give them junk food and give them a fucking PlayStation or whatever the fuck.
And that kept them pacified.
It would pacify them. So it would make sure that they wouldn't rise up. They wouldn't have any problems. Entertain them. That was it. Feed them shit and entertain them. And that was it.
Wow. Huh. I wish I remembered that.
That stuck with me. I was like, oh my God, that's what they're fucking doing.
Everybody's your host from inside the mind of a conspiracy theorist, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we've got a very special guest, the specialist of guests. I sent a survey out to my folks on the email list. If you're not on the email list, you should get on there, IlluminatiWatcher.com. It's free, and you get some free books in the process. Anyhow, on the survey, I said, hey, I got this show on Rockfin, and it's, you know, it's not conspiracy theories and unpopular culture. It's a little different. Me talking to people, it's me talking about influences. We get a little more into spirituality sometimes. We get behind the scenes sometimes. We talk truth or drama sometimes. I said, what would you want? And overwhelmingly, the response I got was they wanted to hear from Mrs. Weishaupt. Previously, never made an appearance on this show, on any of my shows. On the podcast in general, virtually unknown to my great audience. And I said, Mrs. Weishaupt, I grabbed her tenderly by the hand. Mrs. Weishaupt, looked into her beautiful eyes. I've got some bad news for you. I got some bad news. The people want you. They want to hear from you. And she said, I don't want to do this. I said, I know you don't want to do it, but babe, they want it. These are our friends. These are our family. This is our community. And they want to hear from you. And they want to go inside the mind of a conspiracy theorist. And guess who lives in that mind? It's you. So I got her to sit down with me, and we talked. And this is going to be two different parts. I broke it up into two parts. It was a very long talk. And I would like you, my friend, to keep an open mind as you listen. And know this is my heart. This is my love. And if you like it, if you want me to bring her back on in the future, please leave a comment saying, "This is great. We need more of this. Bring her back on." And, you know, maybe down the road here, I'll bring her back on. But be very gentle, okay? Have a gentle heart with her. I mean, she had no desires of doing this. So if you light her up, that's going to be bad news for me. Bad news for me. I'll be sleeping on the couch. You don't want that. I don't need that stress in my life. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think you're going to love it. This first part, we warm up a little bit, okay? We're doing a little warm up. We hit some light fluff. What's your favorite movie? What's your TV shows? But don't worry, we get hard and heavy. We're going to talk about conspiracy theories and her background and exposure to them, which may surprise you that she's not into them. But she knows some of the stuff. Like, she knows who David Icke is, so we'll hear a little bit about who David Icke is. We'll get in. I mean, we hit everything on these two episodes. Politics. Bill Cooper, by the way. We're talking about sex. Some sexual improprieties. What it's like being a woman in today's world. I ask her about the perspectives of the truther community. What she buys into. What it's like living with a psycho like me during a pandemic. Go down memory lane a little bit, but when we first met, dreaming of double wide trailers, and that'll make sense when we get there. And then we'll get into some entertainment ideas about how it suppresses us. Some good examples. And the first part we wrap up with everyone's favorite topic, COVID. And look, I think you're going to disagree with a lot of her stuff, but guess what? Guess who else disagrees with her often? Me. And that's why in part two we go hard in the paint. Talk about the ultimate conspiracy of the mall kids. Oh boy, that one's going to be full of drama. And the second part, which I'll publish soon, I got to process the audio. And speaking of the audio, my apologies. I've never done this before. I've never had two people in my little studio here, and I held the mic too close to my dumb fat face, so my voice is much louder than hers. So my apologies. I'll try to doctor it up the best I can. But yeah, the part two, we'll get into Trump and Q and religion and seeing demons and all this stuff. Marriage. We talk about our marital problems. Did you want to hear that? Well, it's going to be in part two. And the second part is going to be more fun. We talk about the most interesting conspiracies, and we play a game of marry, fuck, kill. And by the way, another caveat I forgot to mention. Explicit lyrics on this one. So if you're sensitive to that... Because, you know, this is our marriage, right? We swear. She swears, I swear, we swear. Like sailors. And, you know, I wanted it to be an organic conversation, so that's what it is. So my apologies in advance if you're not into the cuss words and, you know, maybe skip out on these couple episodes. But yeah, let's get into it. Without further ado, let's get into it. And I'll introduce you to the heart of my life, Mrs. Weishaupt. All right, for the first time ever, live in the studio with me, an actual guest, a human in flesh and blood. Beautiful flesh. Well, that sounds like Buffalo Bill. All right, well, here we go. I got my first in-studio guest of all time. Due to your requests, you wanted this. I sent you out a survey, and... an overwhelming response. Everyone wanted to know. They wanted to go deep inside the mind of a conspiracy theorist to the real voice, the real thoughts, the real mind. That, of course, is my guest, Mrs. Weishaupt.
Hello.
Hello, Mrs. Weishaupt.
Hello.
What should I call you? What's your first name? We had many weeks to prepare for this. What's your name?
Bunny.
My wife, Oprah.
Right, that was it. That was it.
You're Oprah. Okay, my wife, Oprah Weishaupt.
I mean, I don't care if you use my name. What are they going to...
No, we don't want to do that. Okay. We don't want to keep your anonymity.
Okay.
Well, it's fine. Mrs. Weishaupt suffices.
Okay.
All right, well... Now, the question is, and I asked this many times on the Instagram Live, I said, what do you guys want to know? And surprisingly, no one really gave me good information. So, now it's up to me to determine what it is that the people want to know. And, this might be kind of weird. I feel like we've been isolated. We've been quarantining since March.
Well, I do look at your Instagram, and I do see a lot of gay references towards you, so maybe I should deepen my voice a little bit for him.
Well, there's a good starter. I have proof here that I am not homosexual. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Because I'm married to a female. But I do get male attention on Instagram sometimes. What's your thoughts on that?
I love it.
You love it?
Uh-huh.
What about the female attention? What about the IG thoughts? Thoughtin'?
I don't think they're thoughts.
I don't think so either.
Oh, I was like, that's mean. I don't know.
It's just the term that the kids use, you know?
Oh. I don't know. I think that it's lovely. I think that you are a smart, handsome man.
Hmm.
And I like that other people see the things I see in you. So
tell me more. Okay. So there, you heard it. Send your dick pics. Send your tit pics. Fire them off. No, just kidding. Please don't do that. It makes it very awkward in the house.
Well, that's fine. Whatever.
Well, yeah, we've been, I feel like our cycles are in sync from being together for so long. So that's why I wanted to ask the audience what they wanted to know, because I'm like, I don't know. I feel like we think pretty similarly.
My fear is that you're... I don't like calling them it, but I guess your fans.
My fans? You can call them my fans, yes. I like this.
That's so silly.
I like where this is headed.
I'm afraid they're not going to like me. So.
Well, they'll like you.
We'll see. I think we'll see.
We'll see. Okay. All right. Well, okay, let's start with some basics, some softballs.
All right, hit me.
What's your favorite TV show? Could be of all time, doesn't have to be current.
Oh. I mean, I guess of all time, The Office.
Good choice.
It's just so funny. But not the last season. I didn't love that. But
wasn't it the last two seasons?
I guess, whatever.
Since Steve Carell left, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. That wasn't my favorite, but... Then I would have to say my right now is, I don't really think I have one.
No? Not even on like Netflix or something?
Oh, what's that naughty one? Bridgerton. Oh, I like that one.
Okay. Next question. Are you a naughty girl? We're going to turn this into an OnlyFans. Vote in the comments if we start in an OnlyFans. Would you pay $1,000 a month to see the world's saddest porn? all right. God. Well, let's see. Okay, so... Okay, good choices on the TV shows. Now, I know your favorite movie is, I think. Oh. What's your favorite movie?
Well, what do you think my favorite movie is?
I think it's Avatar.
Ooh, I do love it.
Mm-hmm. And just for, and by the way.
Second, Dirty Dancing.
Ooh, okay. Both good choices, turns out. And just for the audience to know, it's not going to be softballs the whole time. We're going to get into the hard and heavy conspiracy questions here soon.
There you go.
I was just trying to, you know, I don't want it to be over in 10 minutes.
Loosen me up a little.
Yeah, we got to get warmed up here. What about books? You like any particular books that stand out as your favorite?
Well, once again, I like the naughty books.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't...
Some romantic-esque books.
Yeah. I'm a basic bitch.
Mm.
I love a good naughty story.
That's fair. Okay. Now, all right, what about... Since you're in the studio here, this is the first time... You've seen the inside of the studio. What's your let's talk about my show.
Okay, hit it.
Because you just started listening to the show. Tell me more and tell the audience the background of that. Because it just seems weird, right? I've been blogging since 2011, podcasting since 2013.
Well, I have a very strong opinion about most things. Mm-hmm. And some that I shouldn't have an opinion on, but
you come by it naturally. You're Greek and Polish, right?
Yeah, right. Yes.
So it comes naturally to those cultures. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No. So I didn't want to. Well, number one, I didn't want to be embarrassed.
embarrassed of me?
Of you?
Of moi? Okay.
Of you, because I felt like you had to get your sea legs a little bit, like.
Sure.
I was afraid you'd go on here and you'd have to like fill it out and figure it out. And then I'd be over there cringing.
Yeah.
And like, that wouldn't be helpful to you. You needed to like figure it out a little bit. Plus I also didn't want to give my opinion too much because I don't want people to get my filter through or, you know what I mean? Like, my opinion filtered through you.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So I wanted to, like, allow you to be you
mm-hmm.
and develop you in the way that felt most natural.
Ah, very good. Okay. So that was a smart move, I think, because, you know, I had to cultivate this sort of radio personality, as it were.
Yeah.
But as most married people know, that when you couple up, you start sort of thinking similarly most of the time.
Agreed.
So I feel like it's fair that we have pretty... I feel like we get in the same ballpark when it comes to certain conspiracies as far as how much you believe it. No?
Yeah, I mean, like...
Where are you at? You see, I've got a big Great Awakening poster. Where are you at on the... circle all the ones that you believe in.
I feel like you... Well, twofold. You go in... deeper than I ever would. Like, you're smarter than I am. So, like...
Well, I mean, your words, not mine.
Well, why, in this...
But is it because, like, the topics aren't that interesting and you're like, I would never read a whole book on flat earth nonsense or whatever?
I mean, they're just so in-depth and I feel like they're written in a way that is just, like, my attention deficit just, like, doesn't... It doesn't penetrate.
Oh.
It's like the word, you know what I mean? Like the word, I can read the words and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Can I swear on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be on Rockfin.
Okay.
Inside the Mind of a Conspiracy Theorist.
Okay.
Rockfin prides themselves on not censoring.
Swearing.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I actually don't, the only reason I don't swear on the show is because out of respect for my great listeners. And
so I have less respect.
No, you just didn't know. I didn't warn you of that. I should have said something. No, and I have guests on that swear, and I'll just roll with it. Like, I don't care. But like, it started because some people reached out and were like, yeah, so you know, I don't like
the
swearing.
Your listeners.
It's fine. I want you to be comfortable. You're a guest.
Okay.
It's not an offensive thing.
Well, don't be offended if I say words that are offensive.
Yeah, we swear like sailors in our house, so that's all right. Okay. But yeah, that's kind of the flavor of the Rockfin show is like it's very much less censored. This is more behind the scenes, you know. Raw, unfiltered sort of thing.
Raw.
Like I had the coffee guy on and you know, we were swearing up a storm.
Okay, good. Well, so, as long as I
yeah. Not a big deal.
I can be me.
You can be me. Very good. Okay, so, all right, so we were talking about why you wouldn't pick up a conspiracy, like you wouldn't read one of these David Icke 800-page books, right?
No, I can barely sit through the 8-hour-long videos that you made me fucking watch for hours. I would fall asleep with it. It was like night time as soon as you put play on that bad boy.
Yeah,
so,
I get it.
I mean, it's... very interesting. I like the way, I like the information. I like the way it makes me think. But on the same hand, the delivery is less entertaining. And the entertainment is the part that I enjoy.
Oh, okay. So it's more of like, if David Icke was more entertaining, you could watch 8 hours in a row.
Yes, I gotcha.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah,
because I try to keep it light.
But it's like drinking from a fire hose of insane. You know what I mean? Like if somebody's gonna hose you down, it's like oh my gosh, like that's so much, and you're swimming in it, and then you get lost in it, and it's just a whole lot. So like I enjoy an entertaining quality, like an entertainment quality to like absorb my information.
Okay, yeah. I like that. A fire hose of insane. If I ever meet David Icke, I'll tell him that's what his shows are like. Oh, and by the way, my chair is squeaky. My studio is not set up for guests, and my apologies. I actually have a squeaky chair over here, so I'll try to minimize my squeakiness here. Okay. So, all right. Well, that's a good little background, and that's why I try to, like I said, I think we're like synced in some ways because we've never had a conversation about this before.
Yeah, but I think I'm definitely way more liberal than you are.
Okay.
A big old dyke. I'm just kidding. I'm a big old feminist.
Yeah, right,
so
right. Okay.
I have like a very...
Well, I tell the audience I'm socially liberal, and I would argue that you also are socially liberal because I don't think you like what the Democrats as a party, as an organization do.
No.
Yeah. But like when you're in the two-party gangs...
I feel like
gangs,
if you're looking at the two parties, I love people. I want people to be taken care of more. And I don't look at industry or companies as people. I look at them as industry and companies. And I want those industries to care for the people that make up the body of the work. So I want them to be cared for. I want people to go to work, make honest money, go home, pay their fucking bills, take care of themselves. That's what I want.
Right. And I think that where the truther community becomes so right wing, in their defense, because I'm also not a right winger at all, is because they are skeptical that the government can provide that help.
Oh, and I agree with that. Like, who was it that you were telling me about, the guy that got shot?
Tupac?
No, the guy, he was like the...
Martin Luther King.
No. He's a conspiracy theorist. He was a comedian. Oh, my God. It's so painful.
Comedian?
He was a kid. He did, like, stand-up. He's your...
Bill Hicks?
Bill, yes.
Oh, he wasn't shot. No, Bill Cooper.
Bill Cooper.
Bill Cooper. He wasn't a comedian, though.
Oh, I thought he was a comedian.
No. He just did a radio show.
Oh, I thought he was like a conspiracy theorist and a comedian.
Oh, maybe you're confused. So Bill Hicks was a comedian that had conspiracy angles in his show, but Bill Cooper is the crusty old dude from Arizona that got shot by the feds.
Yeah, that's it. The crusty old dude. And he's the one that talked about how that's kind of a control system. And the reason it's bad is because it makes these people susceptible to whoever's in office.
Yes.
And I think, and like, I didn't think of it in that way. And I was like, what a brilliant thought. I just didn't travel it the whole way down the line, you know?
Yeah.
And so then I was like, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. Yeah. Bill Cooper was very influential on me.
Yeah. I could see that.
He's got some, I guess like in his Behold a Pale Horse book that we bought down in Florida.
Right. I remember reading.
Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got a anti-Semitic document in there that they've removed from the book. So I have one of the collector's copies with the anti-Semitic trope.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I know.
Congratulations.
Yes.
But I think that the other part of my stance that becomes a little bit more on the conservative side or a traditional side is that, like, I've dealt with addiction pretty strongly in my family. And I've just seen friends that have been given money, and I don't think this is where I'm going to tread lightly. I think that, like, just handing people things that they haven't worked for hits a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Like, you lose the self-confidence of, like, being able to care for yourself, and there's just something to getting up and going and, like, to work and feeling.
Yeah.
So, like, so in that stance of that, I'm pretty liberal, but I also do have, like, some, and I roll my eyes when I say that, some conservative.
Yeah. I think that's how most thoughts. Americans are. I think most Americans are somewhere in the middle. Where
you're right. I agree.
But, like, they want us to divide up and embed in the camp of far right or far left, and it's just, I don't know, it's just not the way it is.
I don't really think that exists as much as people think it does, because, I mean, I have, all my friends are, like, super liberal.
Yeah.
All my girlfriends are, and I work in a very liberal industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, during Christmas time, not one of us gives a fuck about baby, it's cold outside, and we're all a bunch of psycho feminists.
Mm-hmm. Referring to the idea that it's a rape culture song.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's a thing to discredit and to divide.
Yeah, that's the big thing they're using to discredit the liberal movement, the progressive movement, is like, as, I mean, but some people on the left are, you know, constantly complaining about, you know, how we got to cancel everybody and every little thing is the worst. And
I sit on both sides of that fence a little bit, because I do think that if you give people money and they continue to abuse people, then that's a scary thing. But then, like, when Louis C.K. got all wrapped up, like, I felt his his apology letter, or the statement that he came out with, was so heartfelt, and, like, really felt like he put some thought behind it and wasn't just this, like, garbage,
yeah,
like, apology, like, that
he just
didn't mean,
like,
anything.
He just got caught kind of thing.
No, I think he got caught, but I think it, like, when that heat gets turned on to you at that degree, I think that it makes you really look at your stories in your head about, you know,
yeah,
like, questioning, okay, my belief system was a little bit skewed, and maybe that's because of the stew I was stewed in culturally.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not right. But I do think that there needs to be a place for people to come back and to learn. Like, these, you know, it's, the culture has changed so much in the last, hell, like, 8 years,
mm-hmm,
that I feel like the cancel stuff is very, it's not very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta, that's what I always talk about. You gotta have a path to salvation. I mean, like, yes. And there's, like, there's shades of gray in there. Like, you know, you've got,
well, and especially in sexuality.
Yeah, like it might be these guys' kink, and, like, they misread the signals, and, because I think, like,
well,
the
and
big,
they kind of told you guys, like, they told you
that's the big, that's male fantasy.
You, well, not just the fantasy, but they tell you, like, women are supposed to, like, resist, and you are supposed to coerce. And uh-huh, that is the, what...
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, totally.
Jokes. Jokes, everybody, jokes.
Totally.
I'm the worst. I'm not a good pursuer anyway, so...
Yeah, you would be the worst.
I'm the worst rapey guy.
I think I was more rapey than you
were. Uh-huh, I think so. Yeah, I'm just not that assertive. low confidence guy over here.
Oh my gosh, you are not low confidence.
Well, okay, so... Louis C.K. So, yeah, what we're saying, what I was saying was, like, Louis C.K., and this is me with zero research just off the top of my head, from what I recall, the scandal with him was, like, he was, like, you know, the world, like, a world famous comic, like, the best there is, and here comes some two up and coming female comics to his hotel room, and he pulls his wiener out and starts jerking it, I think, under the assumption that, like, these girls looked up to him. And I think, like I said, that, like, that's the male fantasy of stardom, is like, dude, you're gonna be famous and rich, and, like, chicks are gonna just constantly throw themselves at you, like Trump said. Yeah, you're rich and famous, and you just grab them by the pussy, like, right. For some reason guys think, like, yeah, once I get there, that's what they do. They don't mind that I pull my dick out and jerk off, but, like, I don't know why people, I don't know why they buy into it, but, like, for some reason they seem to do that.
Well, I mean, if you're hot. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Like that Tom, was that Tom Brady skit on right, SNL?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the delicate dance of seduction, right? Of,
like, well, we talked about this a lot. And in your perspective, which I agree with, is the men need to read the room better, right?
Yes.
Could you elaborate?
Well, I mean, I feel like women have been conditioned to go along to get along, and that to be the good girl and to be like, don't be a bitch and don't be a slut and don't be argumentative and you can't have opinions. Like, you just have to be super accommodating to men and men's ego. And so it's hard to navigate a man that's coming onto you that you are not maybe so interested in doing that. Maybe you look up to him in a professional setting, but you don't want to like fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think men have really struggle with that because that is part of your fantasy of like, well, once I get the money, once I get the fame, who's not going to want to fuck me? And mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know. Lots of people might not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And it's a bizarre situation for us to put ourselves in for the women, where it's like, for us, if we were in the office with our boss and she was coming on to us, I would argue most men would do it regardless because, you know, it's like, what's that saying about guys are as selective as their choices or something?
All right.
And, well, but like, for guys who don't want to have sex with their boss, these rare things that rarely happen, like, they would just be like, hey, I'm not doing this. I'm married. And they would leave.
But I think whereas, that like, that's women... all fake a little bit, too. Like, I think that that's a little bit fake news because if you look at...
You're calling me fake news.
You're fake news.
Oh, that's but it. Show's over. I'm the real news. I'm the truth.
But I think that... you could have that same argument for the boys that are getting groomed in high school by these female teachers and then okay. having sex with them. I think men are a lot more sensitive, especially like in a romantic way. When you guys like drop your guard and give your heart, you mm-hmm. are kind of you don't have good resilience to bounce back from it. And so, like, to say that men want everything that comes at them is, I don't think that that's necessarily the truth.
Yeah, I could say that. I could believe that. Because I think most of the guys that I know, like, close friends, I would say it's very rare that any of them would be that kind of guy, you know?
Well, probably a little bit more in secret. Like, they...
Maybe in secret,
they don't
maybe.
Allow you to like see everything because you're one of them. Like, they have to have the bravado.
Yeah, maybe.
So it's like, I don't know what's true and what's not true. I think that we all have been stewed in a culture and it's kind of makes it a little bit harder to see what's the truth and what's not the truth. So I don't know.
It okay.
makes it confusing.
All right. Well, okay. That's good. We covered politics. We covered sexual abuse. I mean, what else do we got here? Okay. What about the truther movement? Because you, okay. So here's my perspective. I've been living in this world that's half, well, I'd say more than half, 80% of my life, my exchanges with people are in the truther community. And then the other 20% are non-truther types. And that, I need that balance. I need that 20% to keep me from going off the rails crazy, right?
Okay.
And, you know, you provide that for me. So in some ways, I'm happy you aren't digging into this stuff. That you aren't reading David Icke and like, because I feel like the, you know, there's something our mind does. The more we look at something, it's like this like bit of confirmation bias.
Yeah.
And we start seeing things everywhere and it's like, yeah, this is it. This is the thing. And I don't know. It's a fine line to draw between seeing the reality for what it is, like Roddy Piper and They Live, versus truth is just being paranoid and insane.
Right. And I think that that's a hard line for me because you are very, you give good arguments. And so sometimes I get a little bit swept up in it in the sense of like when we were going through like the shutdown during the pandemic, that was a very, if you've never gone through a pandemic with a conspiracy theorist, let me tell you, it's quite the ride.
So, maybe, you know what? We'll rent a couple rooms out next time it hits, which will be the end of this year. Well, for an exorbitant fee, you can come live with us and never sleep again.
Right. Right. And so that like kind of fucks me up a little bit. But like, but on the same hand, I felt, yeah, like sometimes because especially like when I get to go out to work and you're working from home and you're doing your podcast and you're doing all of your investigating and reading all your books and like you're so in it with limited outside. There goes his shirt.
That's right. I told you guys I don't podcast with clothes on. It's too damn. I start sweating.
I know I'm sweating.
Aren't you hot?
Yeah, it's hot.
Right, I'm gonna open a window. I'm gonna put the mic down. You keep talking.
I'm okay. I might get cold. My feet are cold.
No, this will be nice. Trust me.
Okay.
Take my word for it.
I'm nervous. Do you want me to get it? I might be at a better angle. I'll get it.
Oh shit! I can't fucking get it.
Let me get it.
Okay. All right. Now. Oh, there you go. It's just so damn hot.
Should I take my shirt off?
Yeah, could you? Put the photos on Instagram. At Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe. Better like and subscribe to my wife's tits. Okay, we're talking truth or perspectives, going through a pandemic.
I don't know. I think
so during the pandemic, you feel like I was adding stress to the situation.
Well, it feels like we live in fucking insane old times. Mm-hmm. It's bonkers. It's nonstop upheaval, scary things that are going on that just are not, it doesn't feel like just regular old day-to-day bullshit. Yeah. So, like, to have that already be a thing, and then we were walking the dogs, and you were like, I guess there's supposed to be a bombing in New York, or I don't remember what you said.
Yeah, that was a hot one for a good day.
And I was like, dude, like, it's too much for my little heart because I really care about people. So it really upset me, and I like it, like, makes me want to cry just thinking about it. But that really, it brought a lot of fear to me. Then, mm-hmm. And I was already in, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're already in simmering water, it doesn't take much to boil over. So
right.
I felt like I was already in the, like, simmering water.
Now, this is a good time to pat me on the back, everyone. I did hear about this idea that they were talking about how they were going to bomb New York City based upon...
Who was they?
I don't remember. It was based on a variety of ideas, and I looked into it pretty deep. It had to do with that My Pet Goat video or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I dug into it and was like, I don't think so. This seems kind of like paranoia stuff. And yeah. So I didn't talk about it or post about it because, like, I am selective on how, you know, if it's something that I can get my arms around... just enough to be like, well, maybe, like, I'll share it. But if it's something that I'm kind of like, oh, this seems like some nonsense that started on Reddit that right. isn't true, you know?
Well, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, because it's a lot. Like, next thing you know, you're lovely. Alex you Jones. I'll just half close it here. It's just a little much. There we go. I see a little something. But, okay. So, all right. So, the truth or movement in general, what's your critique of it? What do you think of it?
I think that they, like, in general, this is where it's
tough.
Gets sticky.
It's tough. I tell them all the time I hate the truthers, but then I'll tell them the truthers are always right.
Well, I love the way that they think outside of the box, and I love that like, let's not just take the stories at face value. Mm-hmm. Let's dig into it a little bit and look into that. But then all of a sudden, like, it kind of was like this anarchist type of feel, like, where mm-hmm. there was no, like, all government was bad.
Yeah.
Which I could kind of get more behind versus, like, no, just the Democrats are bad. Because now it feels like it's a tool being used to create more division.
Right.
And, like, I just don't think our country needs more division. I think we're pretty fucking divided.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk so violently about the people that don't agree with you, and this goes on both sides, this isn't just like a Republican thing, but like when we start too violently about each person, you know, it becomes hard on like friendships, and it becomes hard, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it bleeds into your real life, and now people are mean with their words, and yeah. it's like shit that people would say like on TV or on the internet they would never say in person in real life. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, I just feel like it feels more like it's being used as something to separate us. And I think that they're kind of seeing how strong the internet has connected all of us, and they are, you know, in quotes,
the Illuminati,
the of course the Illuminati is afraid that we have kind of woken up to our strength.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now they're going to use bullshit to put in between us to make us hate each other to take away some of that strength.
I think that the internet is a consciousness that has manifested itself. And if you look at the history of the internet, that's what the original goal was. That's what these nerds were doing. They were trying to research some way of making a digital consciousness of some... I'm going to fact check myself here, but I know it's out there.
You're making this shit up.
No, I think it's true. But I think the internet has manifested itself, and we had this weird perfect storm of...
You are so into the manifestation thing of...
What?
Nothing. It's just like with the aliens and the...
Manifesting reality? Yeah. That's because that's what it's all about, baby. It's all about magic.
I know, but like, okay, so I remember being... I'm a hairdresser. So like, I remember going through beauty school and they were like super excited about The Secret.
Oh, right. Yes.
And I like...
Mid-2000s, yeah, early 2000s.
And I bought it a little bit. I was like...
Yeah, we watched it.
Yeah. I was like
into that. We taped a $20 bill in the mirror and I've got lots of $20 bills since then. It's very true.
Well, okay.
Lots of $20 bills, singles. I bet I've since 2003, I bet I've touched 20,000 $20 bills.
I don't know. Because I just kind of felt like it was like...
Did I just convince you of the secret?
Yeah, maybe you did.
I was just bullshit. But we did put a $20 on the mirror.
You're persuasive. You're such a fuck.
I wish you were this persuasive. You're full of shit. You are not persuasive.
Well, like when you come at me with that kind of stuff, I'm like, okay, I could.
So you're saying that. I could be a great cult leader someday, or a con artist?
Kind of sexy.
Oh, hey,
well,
now.
You're sexy.
All right, I'll take kind of. I'm not that good looking.
No, you're good looking, and
she's Mrs. Weislob's way better looking than me. Everybody, funny. Oh, it's true. You were out of my league when I met you.
Well, I was back then.
No, you're still out of my league. No. But I'm just saying, when I met you, I thought, oh boy, what is this? She's seeing me.
Should we tell them about the double wide?
Yeah, go ahead. Tell them what I had in store for you.
We were laying in bed, and I was trying to get to know this dark man that was laying next to me.
This man of dense mystery.
And didn't fucking talk. And he used to talk. It was so adorable. He would talk out the side of his mouth like Popeye. It was very, very attractive. And I was starting to figure out like what his goals were in his dreams and his... Big fucking dream. We were laying in bed, big dreaming. And you were talking about, like, one day I'm going to own a double wide. I almost shit my pants. No. I was like, oh, my God. Are we dreaming about double wide?
Well, I was kind of joking.
But
the truth is I didn't have any real goals. I had no goals. I was living life every moment for the moment. Oh. Right?
Yeah, I could see that.
Because, like, you know.
Yeah, you were kind of floating.
Because my history was that, you know, my old man kicked me out when I was 18 and I lived in this crummy apartment and just paid the bills until I couldn't pay the bills anymore. And then I was like, okay, I guess I'm joining the military.
Deal. Like, guess what? I would fucking ride with you to a double wide. I don't have a fucking problem with that. Not a problem with it. There's nothing wrong with it. But like, if we're going to dream, Jesus, like, I don't want to dream about that.
You don't want to set the bar that low?
No. Well. If we're dreaming, I want to dream. But I would.
Yeah, that's very nice. My mom in Jersey, she lived in a single wide.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with it.
And my best memories, we're going to visit my mom in Jersey. Listen, in her single wide.
I grew up. Poor. Lights turned off, poor.
I know.
Coming home from school with no fucking water on in the house, poor. And that was a real.
But that's why you care about. That's why you care about people so much, because you know what it's like to be on the bottom side of the boot sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good people work really hard to get fucking nowhere, and that's a real bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, and like that's where
people think that's laziness, and it's like, no, dude, guess what? That's not like they might not be the most savvy with their money, and I think that money has its own energy, and I don't think like being poor doesn't necessarily attract that energy to you. You're shit with money because you don't fucking know.
Yeah,
and like to demonize people that don't know how to do it is garbage. I think that's real. Fucking rude.
Yeah, and this is where we get back full circle to like why the truthers are always right, and the whole idea of, you know, people orchestrating movements to keep the common people down. Like they could teach us how to, like, do shit right. I mean, I guess, like, I don't know. I guess you could argue both sides of this. Like, on one hand,
well, no,
people sometimes are dumb.
I've had full conversations with some of my girlfriends that were very upset with some of the things that were going, like, how do I want to say this story? There's some delinquent children that were doing some delinquent things into a neighborhood of our friend.
Okay.
And when I was talking about it, they were saying how they were children. These were children that were doing this, and they were doing, it was starting to get violent and scary.
Yeah, they're like breaking into garages and stuff, right?
Well, cars. They're breaking into cars, and then they were, then they got a gun, and then they were going on high speed chases, and like it was getting out of control. But they were upset because the law can't really throw the book at them because they're children, they're underage.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started talking about, like, well, we need to get them into some, like, schooling and this and that, and, like, try and get them away from doing shit and start doing, like, something productive with themselves so that they can have something in their life. And they were pissed off about it because they were, like, they didn't want competition for their children that they felt like they were doing – they were giving things up to –
You mean,
for their children.
Oh, they were worried that
they were
some
gonna get a leg
resources
up on their,
were
going
to be given
yes.
to the troublemakers.
The resources were going to be given to the troublemakers, and then therefore now that child is going to be in a position of competition.
Scarcity mindset.
Scarcity mindset.
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear is the root of all
it
problems.
It fucking blew my mind. I'm like, these are poor children. These are poor.
Yeah, and like, do you want them
children.
To keep breaking into stuff or not? I mean,
it's a direct consequence in their home. Like, this is in their neighborhood, and they still are like, you know, it's just this mindset: lock them up and throw away the fucking key. And it's like, whoa, what are we doing?
Yeah, and that's what that's what drew me into the truther movement. But the last couple years, we seem to have forgotten all this stuff, where it's like. To me, the truther movement was like revealing injustices and saying, like, you know, the prison system is bullshit. The war on drugs, it's bullshit. This is all stuff to keep us down and keep us suppressed and keep us poor and keep us malnourished. The food, I mean, like, you name it, it's out there.
Feed us garbage, entertain us,
but
don't give us anything to fucking take care of ourselves.
Yeah, all America does is create entertainment. This is our number one export, and they keep us sick. What? Go ahead. Go ahead.
No.
I don't want to interrupt your stream of consciousness.
No. It was just like when you had that boss that was talking about how he was working.
Ooh, the fucking date, the dreaded day job, everybody. Let's talk about it.
Well, which boss? You can edit it if it gets too much.
No, we don't edit here on Rockfin. We're going to put it all out and blast. Just don't say any direct names.
I don't know them anyways. But they were talking about how they were working at Guantanamo Bay and in the detention center that's over there.
Oh, man. Who the hell did I know that worked at Guantanamo Bay?
I got a mine like a steel trap.
Wow. How many years ago was this?
A long time ago.
This was
a long time ago.
Okay. All right.
And they were saying that the thing that they would do is like give them junk food and give them a fucking PlayStation or whatever the thing was.
And that kept them pacified.
It would pacify them. So it would make sure that they wouldn't rise up. They wouldn't have any problems. Entertain them. That was it. Feed them shit and entertain them. And that was it.
Wow.
And
I wish I remember that.
That stuck with me. I was like, oh my God, that's what they're fucking doing.
Yeah, totally is what they're doing. 100%.
Give us fucking movies. And you know what? Maybe that's the fucking thing. Because it's like, we haven't had any movies. We can't go to concerts.
Oh my God.
We can't really go to restaurants. We can't connect with people. And now look at the unrest. They, all of the things that they had to... I love it when I make you write.
I'm writing notes.
But like since then, ever since all of that things, those things got taken away, now fucking look at us. Unrest. There's unrest all over the place.
Yes.
Direct fucking link.
I like that. That's a genius thought. I gotta marinate on that for a second. Mm-hmm. You're right though. That's how it's been. There's been nothing to really. You know, like no movies, right? Really? I mean,
connection. Stay. Don't hang out with your friends. Don't go to concerts. Like all. Don't. You can't travel. All of the things that numb us, that we use to get through this shit life, has been taken away from us.
Well, okay. Since we're dancing around the peripheries of this massive topic, COVID.
No.
COVID.
All right.
When we so back in March, I devoted probably 4 shows saying, is this even real? Is this even a real virus?
And this is when they're going to hate me. and the tables just turned.
So we got the big topics. We got COVID. Is it real or is it fake? Then we had masks. Do they work or do they not? And, you know, that now it's the vaccine. Now we're talking about, well, the vaccines, are they safe? Are they effective? Do they work? Do they have microchips? All these questions. And I'm always at a miss to be committed to one camp or the other with all of these topics. Like, for sure. Okay, so I for sure come along to say, yeah, COVID's real. Like, for sure. Like, all these, 400,000 dead bodies for the cold? No. Like, because we blew past, you know, because when it first happened, everyone, all the truthers and right-wingers are like, oh, these are just cold flu numbers. You know, we had a bad flu year the one year, and it was 60,000 people that died.
Yeah, they did.
Now we blew past that to 450.
It's strange that they have gone so overboard on this, because I have a client, and he was a nurse, but now he's a nurse practitioner. But he was saying, he's like, was it fucking swine flu? What was the last thing that, like, swine flu was like, became a thing?
Yeah, swine flu was when Obama was in, and the conspiracy there is that it was only really killing young people. So, like, they didn't give a shit. They were like, cool, keep everything moving. But now that the corona is killing old people, now it's like, oh my God, everyone shut everything down.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the right answer is. Like, I don't want old people to die either.
Well,
it's just curious how one...
Old people aren't my favorite. They're not my favorite.
Well, we won't get into ageism. That won't go over well.
I don't not like them. I just think you guys get a little crusty and entitled.
Well, I mean, look at who's running Congress. It's like all 80-plus-year-old white men. There's not enough diversity of the American opinion.
And they've been up there too long.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And it's not like age makes them bad, but it makes them very close-minded and, like... Most people, you know, under the age of 80 are like, legalize marijuana. Dude, you know, this is crazy. What are we doing?
Yes.
And they're all stuck in the world on drugs nonsense, like,
yeah,
as if that helps anything.
Right.
Well, okay, so the COVID experience here. What was your feelings going through this? Because you had to deal with me going back and forth on, like, looking at data and being like, well, I don't know. I don't know if this is real even, you know. And then it was like, then once I was convinced, like, okay, there's a real virus, but and a lot of people, they're still not there with it. They say, well, no, they take these PCR tests and they think they find stuff and it's not really there. And you hear...
So my experience is I do hair, and so I get lots of people from lots of walks of life.
You do. You get way more exposure than I or most people.
And I have very intimate conversations with lots of those people. So, like,
yes, that's your superpower, right?
My superpower is to make people feel comfortable and talk to me. And I love that. That's I love fucking connecting with people. It's like my fucking kink.
Mm-hmm.
But, so is it real? Yeah, it's real. Like, I know people that have struggled with losing parents and siblings and stuff with it. So, real? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do the masks work? Yeah, the fucking masks work. Like, I know. Sorry. I know they hate it. I know they
hate it. Do they work 100% though?
Probably not. But, like, okay, if you're looking at statistics, it's working enough to keep industry going. And I have to be behind a chair with a person sitting in that chair for me to make any kind of money.
Like, you're less than 2 feet from people.
Yeah, the whole time.
This whole time, yeah.
Yeah, so like...
And Utah's had one of the worst rates of COVID spread in the country.
Yeah, because you
per 100,000, it was over the top.
So, like, here's the deal. Like, half of the... So, I talk... Not only do I have, like, the clients that I talk with, but I'm also friends with lots of girls that are in salons from past... Like, working with them in the past or doing, like... it doesn't matter. Anyways, I have lots of friends that do hair. And... we get information of like, oh, they're not wearing masks and they're not really enforcing it. And I mean, you have so many people that even in our like little, when we were in that studio, everybody was doing something independently. And so there was no like coordinated effort
mm-hmm.
of all of us wear the mask or whatever.
Oh, right.
So, and I would say that that's like by salon, You know what I mean? Like, it's the mm-hmm. culture within that salon. Mm-hmm. So we had a few salons that were like, oh, this is, we had clients were calling the health department and ratting on us because we weren't wearing our masks and it made them uncomfortable. And so therefore they had to start figuring out a way to wear a mask. So they were like trying to be tricky and like would wear a surgical mask, cut a hole in it, and then put like a lacy fucking
I've heard of this.
So that they could breathe through it. And like, here's the deal. Like, if you, I wear fucking glasses, I fog my glasses up every fucking day. Mm-hmm. It's hot and it's exhausting. When I first started, I was losing my voice. But on the same hand, it was like, dude, I was just so grateful to be at the salon mm-hmm. and to be able to work. And we haven't, like, knock on fucking wood, we haven't had one COVID outbreak in our salon. Mm-hmm. Whereas others, they've had huge problems. Like,
it's true.
Super spreaders.
It's true.
And our salon has a very strict, like, you will wear a mask and you will, your clients have to wear it and you have to wear it. And there's just like no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And we haven't had one fucking thing. On the other hand, they are having huge breakouts in other salons.
Yeah. And we've seen that with, our CrossFit gym. Same story. It's not a mask culture in there, right?
And it was hard.
And I don't blame that. It's too hard to wear a mask and work out. That's crazy.
Dude, it was so hard. I tried to go in there and wear a mask, and it was just like, man, you're like sucking air so hard.
We took a 2-month break during the Biden, what did Biden call it? The dark winter. Yeah. And sure enough, everyone caught it. So there was a 2-month gap during the Biden dark winter, and we kind of laid low from the gym because we were a little bit nervous because we hang out with some high risk folks and just
Christmas
to be careful.
And
yeah.
My parents
big holidays
were coming over. And the situation was like the culture in the gym when I would, because I mean, you cannot step outside and not talk about COVID. I talk about it. 98% of the conversation that I have in the salon is COVID. Yeah. And then when we were at the gym, that was also maybe less than that, but like 50% or 75% COVID-related conversation within the gym. And in the summer, it wasn't so bad because we had the garage doors open and
The numbers were really low in Utah in the summer.
Terrible.
We thought
we
dodged it
around our family very much.
Yeah.
So like when it started, when we're all inside and we would have conversations and they would just be like, the way that they felt about it was like, well, we all just have to get it. And
yeah.
And I go back and forth on this where it was like, I was like, well, I guess we're just all getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's okay. I guess like during the summer, I was a little bit more comfortable with that of being like, okay, well, let's just get it. I'm not going to be around my family. We'll probably be okay. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Statistically, we're probably okay with our age and health and all that stuff.
Yes. But like.
But you never know.
Right. You never know. I was like, man, they're being. It just took one person to bring it into there.
Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, it spread around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what little bit of contact I have with human beings outside of my home, it seems like the people that are pro mask got less COVID and the people that are like anti-mask got the COVID. So
and I think that like I don't know if anti-mask is a very weird way of putting it.
Why?
Because I just feel like it's,
you don't like the divisiveness of that?
I don't. Like, who gives a fuck at this point? Like, can we just move on with our lives a little bit? I just, like, don't want to have this argument to our dying fucking, until we're into the fucking group. Uh-huh. Like, they couldn't do the research on it
for yeah.
a number of reasons because they weren't capable of doing it because people aren't
100%. Yeah, and this is the problem with power structures, which is what I think draws a lot of truthers into the right-wing side of politics. Is because the power structures literally cannot say, hey, we don't know the answer. Like, they gotta know all the time because there's this weird law of power that they have that they feel like, well, if we say we don't know, the people are gonna panic and we can't have we can't have them panicking. And then they lie.
They were like out there buying fucking toilet paper. Like COVID came out of their asses. Yeah. I don't understand that.
I don't even know if it's right or if it's wrong, you know?
And that's where it gets hard. It's like if you guys, if people would just like kind of like use a little bit of reason and stop. This is where I want to be so shitty. But I think it's like when you have kids and you feel like you have to.
Oh, we can be shitty. They're getting like $3,000 from Biden's socialist stimulus. We're going to be shitty to them people. Okay. We don't have kids, right? For the record, we have no children.
No children.
Because we hate them.
No.
Secretly, we hate them.
It's just not our journey.
It just didn't happen for us, right?
Yeah, we tried. And it just didn't work out.
Oh.
But I feel like they are so hell-bent on making sure they're taken care of.
Yes.
It's this selfishness that we've kind of lost where it's like, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps instead of like, no, we got to kind of look at this as a community and see what the, you know, we live in a community. We can't be independent within the community.
Right. And that's another, you know, David Icke always talks about.
They are going to fucking hate me so hard.
Oh, it's fine. You guys are going to have to leave a comment if you want me to have a return back or not. We'll do a part two someday or part three. I guess it depends how long this one takes. The kids thing, again, this is another one of these great inversion fantasies. Like David Icke always talks about how everything's inverted. Like the hospitals are there and they make you sicker. And these schools don't actually educate you. They actually indoctrinate you into like whatever, right? He's at this long diatribe. Well, this is another one because people with children oftentimes think, look at me and say, oh, you don't have kids. And they assume I'm selfish.
Yeah.
When the reality is, I think people having kids makes them more selfish because their circle of concern gets much smaller. And now it's, they got to worry about, oh my God, I'm going to die someday. I got to make sure this kid that I brought into the world has enough resources, wealth, whatever, fill in the blank, to make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
And it makes them selfish, which I'm not saying they're wrong for thinking that. They should. Right. They should take care of their kids by all means.
Right.
You know, but, Not that you or I have had that in our lives, but you know, it's fine. but to me, I think it makes, that's why, you know, kids are the big conspiracy. The government wants you to get saddled down with children because again, it pushes the divisiveness. Well, it pushes the selfishness. It makes you not care about other people. All right. What'd you think? Leave a comment. You want me to drop the part two? You want me to bring her back on in the future? Let me know in the comments. But be nice. Come on, be nice. This is still my wife. Don't make me defend her honor now. But I think you enjoy this perspective. This is the inside the mind of a conspiracy theorist brand. We go behind the scenes. We do a little something different. But in part two, which I will work on as fast and furious as I can, we go into kids, the ultimate conspiracy. I always say it. This is very controversial stuff. And we talk about Q, we talk about Trump, religion, is it the biggest psyop? Well, you're going to find out. Talk about an experience of seeing demons. Talk about our marriage, you want to hear about marital problems? Well, we'll talk about it briefly. I don't want to get too dark, too deep. We'll get her opinion on aliens, the most interesting conspiracies, and then we finish off with the funnest, the game of Marry, Fuck, Kill. And you're going to love it. It's a good time. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. I appreciate you guys. And until next time, be your best for those who deserve your best.